Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that song. Love that song. It tells the whole story. The whole Lent and Passion story is told there in that song. I want to start our time with a poem that I think will be best heard, and I'm running a risk here, if you close your eyes. And I say I'm running a risk because I know what happens sometimes when we close our eyes. That hour catches up with us. But you know what? If that happens, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And husbands and wives, if you want to elbow one another to keep each other awake, use your elbows, right? That's what we're all. Use your elbows. All right. Where are we going? God called to Abram, it's time to go, from the land of Ur, of idols and gods. The call brings faith, and faith, a promise. A call to action, a call to follow. But where are we going? It's the blessing of the promise, comes the promise of a blessing. A name made great, a nation made great, a world blessed. But where are we going? They packed up everything. The whole entourage departed Haran. They left the land of idols and gods to follow the call of the One. Canaan, Shechem, to the oak. This land is your land. This land is my land. Build an altar and worship there, but where are we going? Heading east, they pitched a tent, made a home for a moment, a home away from home, with no idea where the new home would be. Build an altar, worship God, but where are we going? Miles to go before we sleep. There is still more to travel, more land to cover, more blessings to bless. Where will you go, Abram and Sarai? Where will the Lord lead? Where are we going? Into the dark of night, under the cover of the moon, some place where we wouldn't be seen, to talk with the rabbi in secret, to ask the questions we dare not ask in daylight. Where are we going? To be born again, to the water and the spirit, to chase the wind, to find out what we don't know. Where are we going? You won't know until you know that you don't know. I know, and those who know me, they know. A life eternal is for those who know. A life forever is for those who believe. A life unceasing in gift and grace for those who are loved by the one who called Abram out of the land of idols and gods, the one who loved the world before Abram was Abraham. Where are we going? Do you want to know? Do you want to believe? Do you want to be loved? The Son has been sent into the world of idols and gods to deliver the love of God to those to whom he sent, to save the world loved by God. Where are we going? We are as much there as we are anywhere. Where are we going is the question. You can open your eyes if you like or keep them closed. It doesn't matter. Abram is called from a land of the familiar. He grew up there. His father grew up there. His forefathers grew up there in this land of gods and idols, this land called Ur, or the village or the town, the city of Haran. Abram is called by the one, a God for whom he had no idol, a God that he couldn't have figured out how to create out of wood or stone or silver or gold. The one called him and said, "It's time to go." And when the one calls, you only have really one choice, and that's to go. Go where he calls you to go. For some, that could be out of the land of Haran and into the land of Canaan, a place where you weren't very familiar. To others, it's Papua New Guinea. To others, it's China. To others, it's Kenya or Ghana or Alaska or Eugene, Oregon. When God calls, you go. You pack up everything and you follow. Even though you may not actually be sure of where you're going, especially if you've never heard of Eugene, Oregon, you have no idea where you might end up. But that's the way God works. He calls, and you go. We still live in a land of idols and gods. Small I, small g, idols and gods. We give a lot of praise and worship to things that don't deserve it, to a lot of things that are made, as the scriptures say, by human hands, whether that's technology or whether that's money or whether that's anything else. We give a lot of praise and worship to things that don't deserve it. And yet God still calls. Follow. Go. Out of this land of idols and gods. Now, I don't know how often he does it in an audible voice that sounds different from the one that's in your own head. I'm sure he does. I certainly would not tell him not to, or that he can't. But God calls in a number of ways for us today. He calls in ways that might seem kind of plain, kind of earthy, ways that might not seem too impressive or godlike. He calls us through his word, the word that we read in the scriptures, the word that we read perhaps every day in our devotionals, the word that we hear in the songs that we sing, the conversations we have. He calls to us through that word. He says, go. Now, it might not be, again, to some foreign place, some faraway distant land. It might just be to McDonald's, as some do. It might just be to Safeway or Albertsons or who knows where. Something mundane, something unexpected, something certainly not God-like. He doesn't call you to the mountaintop. He doesn't call you to the pinnacle of the temple. He just says, go. He calls us through his word. He also calls us through his sacraments, those wonderful gifts that he's given us. Again, mundane by any stretch of the imagination. It's just water. It's not special water. It hasn't come from some place in particular. It doesn't have to. Some may think that the water of the Jordan is somehow more special. It's just water. And the water that's in the Jordan now is not the same water that was in the Jordan when Jesus stepped in it, because it's a river and it flows. The water the day after Jesus was baptized was not the same water that was in it the day he was. So the water doesn't matter. But it's the water and the word put together that matters. The mundane, the water, the sometimes plain word. But it's God who does it. It's God who calls in this land of idols and gods. Each week he gathers us together in this wonderful place called the church. He surrounds us with others who are rather plain people, if you look around. I mean, we could do the whole thing and say, yes, everybody's special and God has made them special in their own way, but we're all really kind of plain people. Arms and legs and hands and feet, and some with more than others, and it doesn't matter ultimately. We're just plain people. He puts us all together in his way. And it's people we see pretty often. It's not like something new, lightning bolt, person glowing like on Mountain of Transfiguration. It's just plain people that he uses. The mundane. That's how God calls. Nothing spectacular. When we gather at the altar, we come and we kneel around this wooden rail. Nothing special about the rail. It's made of wood, and those who put it together know. It's not holy wood from Lebanon and the cedars there. It's just plain wood. And he feeds us. Jesus feeds us with bread that, well, if you want to admit it, doesn't really taste like much. Doesn't really feel like much. Might crunch a little bit, but could be a little chewy. Pretty plain. And the wine? We live in wine country, right? Willamette Valley, the wine, the best of the best, and yet we use really pretty plain wine. Manischewitz, I think. Concord grape. Pretty mundane. But that's the whole point, right? If we chose to use the best of the best wine, we would be more concerned about how the wine tastes or any of that than we would about what God is doing through it. If it was about the bread and we had people making special bread, then it would be about the bread and not what Jesus' body does in it. That's the problem with us humans, is we make gods and idols out of even the most mundane things. We make it about what it's not supposed to be about. So that's why plain bread, plain wine, plain water. Because otherwise, we, not Jesus, we lose sight about why it is what it is. See, God calls Abram out of the land of gods and idols and says, go. Where are we going? You'll know when you get there. Just go. Just take that wagon, train, and go. You'll know when you get there. The journey won't be easy. You're going to go through the land of Canaan, through the land of Shechem, to the Oak of Moreh, all of these places where there are people who you don't know, who don't know you, who might not even want you there. But you'll build an altar and you'll worship. Just go. I'll tell you when you get there. How often have we asked that question? God, where are we going? We might not ask it in those terms. We might ask it about, well, we're 100 years old now, the church. What's next? Where are we going? Are we going to stay here or are we going to go there? And where is everybody else going? Because they don't seem to be going here. They're going other places. We ask this question all the time, and what does God say? He actually stays pretty quiet, if you haven't noticed, when you ask that question. It's almost as if he's saying, you'll know when you get there. Or, I'll let you know when you get there. Just go. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on sharing the gospel. Keep on reaching out to those around you. Keep on looking for ways to connect. Keep on having vacation Bible school. Even though when we look at numbers, we say, well, there used to be a day when, well, yeah. But go. Keep going. See, it's hard. In this time, in this day, in this age, we can say it a lot, but it's no more true now than it was 100 years ago. Nobody knows what tomorrow brings except God. And we, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, because of that mundane water and the glorious word, because of the plain bread and plain wine with the body and blood of Christ, because of all of these plain old people gathered together every Sunday, because of the Holy Spirit working all of it together, we fear, love, and trust in God above all things, above all plans, above all ideas, above all thoughts and notions, and we trust. It's not always easy, and we often ask, where are we going? But we trust in God to lead us there. And we will. We will always trust in God to lead us there, because he's the only one who knows where there is. But as Jesus said, or as not Jesus, oh my goodness, Jesus didn't say this. Luther said this. They're not the same, by the way. They are not the same. But where Christ is where Christians will be. And not only will be, but are. We are where Christ is. And we always will be. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ, that call of God to go, may that sustain us, encourage us, and bless us each day on our way. Amen.